Phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State. Welcome to News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bott. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and stand by for a different kind of show. We've got something for everybody in this one. It started early, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so we've got somewhat of our own buffet of different types of things we're going to talk about today. But first, let me introduce my producer, who is kind of like levitating across the production area here today, Kelly Frost Jr.
How are you doing this morning, Carl?
Well, I was not as good as you.
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, tell everybody what happened this morning.
So I took a shot of whipped cream, and I did it wrong, and it was just all air.
Yeah, so what happens is nitrous. Somebody brought in a can of whipped cream for some reason, and Kelly was going to have breakfast by eating whipped cream. And instead, he got the hydrogenated air up his nose.
Yeah, Gary's doing that over on Hank this morning. He's taking shots of whipped cream.
Well,
so he invited me in for one.
Yeah.
He invited me too, but I'm not sure I'm going to go over there and do major suckage on a can.
Well, you know what? And that is my bride, Linda Bott, over there talking about taking shots of whipped cream again.
Well,
frankly, I'm trying to stop.
Good morning. And wow. You know, they say today, tomorrow, and Friday are the most heavily traveled days of the year.
That's right. But even now, though, they're saying is that the travel about the people traveling this year is going to be down. But, you know, the price of gas, I just drove by one of these places. It was $1.79, and I know it's even lower than that in some of the other places. So you're probably talking $1.75, which is, what, $3 less than it was 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago. Now, one of the things I want to say is give yourself a pat on the back, North State, Reading. The Good News Rescue Mission has got all the turkeys they need. Yesterday, they still needed 150. We put the call out, and I believe the word came in this morning that they've got that 150. So between Friday and yesterday, we had got the North State brought in over 300 turkeys to help feed the people that aren't going to have the Thanksgiving that many of us will have. So congratulations, and pat yourself on the back because we have something else, too, we want to talk to you about.
Okay, it's the toy drive. You want to talk about it now? Okay.
Talk about the toy drive
right
now.
6th Annual North State Toy Drive, December 5th. Mark your calendars from 9 to 6. This is put on by the United Bikers, and it's a joint effort by the motorcycle community. They need items for boys and girls from ages 2 to 12, and what they need are learning tools for toddlers, coloring books, crayons, children's books, games, models, stuffed animals, and dolls. And also quickly, what they say from the National Safety Board is that if it can fit inside of a toilet roll,
one of those tubes.
Toilet paper roll,
yeah,
don't give it to a toddler.
That's right. Don't choke on it. Okay, so that's when we're going to talk more about this toy drive because it's a great success every year, and you see like 400 or 500 bikers riding around with teddy bears in the backs of their bikes.
Well,
and
I'm not giving you any action figures.
Well, hey, I've got enough action as it is. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to take a quick break, and already they've got people on the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, as we tell everybody, this is not just our show, it's everybody's show. And so, you know, we get a number of phone calls. And when I see one that comes in with we get the caller's name as the voice of reason. Good morning, voice of reason.
Morning,
good morning,
Mr.
voice
Bott.
Of reason.
First of all, let me start by saying that I really love your show. I think it's good what you do and that you kind of get a lot of opinions out and that you get a lot of activities going. And I especially love what I read on the online record searchlight yesterday about what you did to help get the turkeys for the mission. My wife is still working, and I'm retired. And we moved up here from the Bay Area a couple of years ago. And I got to tell you, since we moved up here, I almost feel like I'm afraid to walk out my door. My topic is about gun control and concealed carry permits. And frankly, the whole idea of a whole bunch of people carrying around guns inside their coat really concerns me. Kids die every day like that poor police officer whose son found the gun and shot himself. Kids die every day. College campuses get the students get shot up, high school campuses the same way. Frankly, I've lived 66 years. I've never had to carry a gun, and I've never found the reason for it. So I'll take I'll take your response or your reaction off the air, because I really got to get out the door and go to work. But that's my opinion for the day.
Well, thank you. I mean, and that's the thing about this show is we want to hear everybody's opinion. Now, and I'll answer you. I know you have to go, but thanks a lot. And thank you so much for your phone call.
Hey, you're welcome, Carl, and you keep up the good work. I really do like your show.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Okay, you know, when we talk about that, and this, he has serious considerations. He's obviously, he's thought about this. But here's the bottom line on this, is that the people that were shot on the college campus, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Virginia Tech. Let's talk about some of these other incidents. Now, in Virginia Tech, you had 32 students killed. 32 students killed by one man with a handgun, or maybe two handguns. Carried it in. And he went from classroom to classroom shooting people. And to shoot that many people, you've got to be an expert marksman, which he wasn't. So how did he do it? People laid down, they got on their knees, he told them to stand there, and he started shooting them. Picture this voice of reason. What if one of those students, one of those people there, and by the way, they had the ability to do this, was carrying a concealed weapon? What if they had that concealed weapon with them? Because they have to pass the classes. They have to know how to shoot the weapon. What if they had then produced their weapon and shot the man that murdered these 31 people? What if people that had been killed in these incidents, what if somebody around them had been able to carry legally a weapon with them to stop this? That's what I look at. Now, as far as children being killed and teenagers being killed with weapons, you're absolutely right. That is horrible. And what's happened right here in our own town is horrible. The fact is that it was a horrible accident. And I'm not going to get into the fact of prosecution or not. It's one of those things that obviously there was negligence there. Was it gross negligence in the sense that the police officer should be prosecuted? I mean, how much more prosecution can you do to him than he hasn't done himself? But again, I'm not going to get into that one. But people people are killed every day, yes, by guns, but also by drunk drivers. They're killed in accidents at work. They're killed a number of different ways. And I think if you look at the number of children that are killed by a weapon, that the numbers are so infinitesimally small compared to what other people die from. Now, being able to carry a concealed weapon, yes, we know we've talked a lot about that. There, I think there's 4,000 or 5,000 permits been given out in Shasta County. The question you need to ask yourself is, how many of these people legally carrying a weapon have caused any problems? And I think you're going to find out, as even the chief of police, who is not the former chief of police, who is not a great advocate of it, says, a very small number of them have gotten into trouble, but not for pulling the weapon. They've gotten in trouble because some of them were drinking while they had, which is a big no-no. The other is not telling an officer when they're pulled over that they are carrying a concealed weapon. That's even a bigger no-no. I mean, those are things that you don't do. So they lose that ability to carry a concealed weapon. I think it comes down to this. And again, thank you for that phone call. And we've got, by the way, the phone lines are lit up at this point. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right to the phone, and I'm going to let some other people give their opinion. Tom, good morning.
Well, good morning. How you doing? I was going to tell a little bit about my interesting trip to San Francisco to take my daughter, but I'll maybe say that and say a little bit about the gun control. I'm 56, and I've never felt a need to carry a weapon around. I don't know. I go bear hunting with a stick because I'm so big. But I'm certainly not going to deny somebody else the right, because it is a constitutionally guaranteed right, the Second Amendment. And I'm glad the Supreme Court upheld it as an individual right, not just a collective right. And what I have a problem with, let's look at it through the other end of the telescope, is cities like Washington, D.C., that tell you can't have a gun inside the city. If you do, it's got to be in 50 million different pieces. What do you do in a situation when there's a riot, the police can't protect you, or the police are on strike, and suddenly you've got to assemble that whole thing to protect yourself?
Well, you know, it's absolutely true. That's why it was struck down, too, the Heller Law.
Yeah, well, I'm not so for sure that a few more liberal Supreme Court justices, that was a 5-4 ruling. That should have been a 9-0 ruling.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tom. And, you know, I tell you what, it's the fact is that is scary.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'll blend this in with Sam.
Okay, it's got to be quick. Cause...
down there. You know, it's interesting, that city, the bed tax is the highest I've ever seen, 14%. The sales tax is 8.5%. I mean, I don't think San Franciscans have ever seen a tax they don't like. And driving around that town's pretty hard. And I've noticed that down in the financial district, you can't park on the street anymore. They've literally stopped it. You got to go in these parking garages. Okay, but you know what? The parking garages, I walking out of there, I almost hit my head because I'm 6'6", and 6'5" is a maximum height. So it's like, well, they don't like, they got this, I don't know, for some reason, liberals seem to hate these SUVs because they're gas hogs and all that. So what they do is they fix it so you got no way to park one of those things, because if you're a real tall pickup or something, you can't get it in those parking garages. So they're not going to take away your right to own one. They're just going to make it impossible for you to park it anywhere.
Well, it's the same thing they're going to do with weapons. And, Tom,
yeah,
hey, Tom.
Mean, this is how it is. You know, it's like they just, you know, like Barack Obama said something about, oh, we're not going to outlaw coal plants. We're just going to make it so expensive they won't be able to build them. And this is kind of how socialism works. They use a system whereby, they tell you they're not taking away a right, but they make it so difficult to exercise that right that fundamentally they have taken it away.
Yeah.
One last thing, I found it very interesting in San Francisco. Most of them are one-way streets, and it's so clogged with traffic, you can't hardly ever make a left turn on major streets like Market. Everything's a right turn. And I said to somebody, you know, for a left-wing city to only be able to make right turns, I says, somehow that don't quite jive.
Hey, Tom, thanks
Tom.
For the phone call, Tom.
See you later.
All right. Hey, you know, we've got to take a quick break here, and then the phone lines are lit up, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back from the break. This is Carl Lindabad here on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carla Lindabot, News Talk 1400 KQMS. The lines are lit up, 221-1402. It's 54 degrees right now at 825.
Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
You're up.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about the caller before that, you know, was scared to step outside because of the fear of people having concealed weapons. You know, and I have to say that it piqued my interest because I'm a retired law enforcement officer from here in Shasta County. And I've had a lot of contacts with people over the years, and most of the time when somebody has a weapon, it's because they're out in the field that are, you know, involved in a crime. They're not a concealed weapons person. They don't possess a concealed weapons permit. Most of the time those are criminals or guys that are, you know, in the bad trouble.
Yeah.
People with concealed weapons permits, when I run across them, the crime or the contact didn't involve a crime or didn't involve a weapon. It's just a matter of, through our research, found that they had a concealed weapon or that they said forthright, I have a concealed weapon and, you know, and I have a permit. So they're decent people. And I don't want people in our community to think that they're in danger because we have so many concealed weapons permits, you know, issued in the county.
No,
and I think that's an important point.
No, I think that you're absolutely right, Stephen. That's one of the, you know, the points I've tried to make, and as did Sheriff Pasenko, is that the people that have obtained a concealed weapons permit have gone through classes. They are either former military or they have taken a number of safety classes and shooting classes. They've done background checks on them. And again, I as you've said, and I'm going to reiterate here, as the sheriff says, is there's never been a problem in that sense where somebody with a concealed carry permit has committed a violent crime. Utilizing this.
No, and they're good people. They just have a need for whatever reason they have, or you know, whatever they feel they need to have a concealed weapons permit. That's, you know, they're going to get those to you know, basically comply with the law. And that's you know, I support that. You know, and of course our department, you know, we didn't issue very many of them. But the sheriff's office, they do a good job of screening that, and they go through a long process.
And including interviews with the people.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's not just, you know, hand them out, you know, like business cards. It's a totally different process. It takes anywhere, well, you know, last time I you know, heard it was a six-week process, but I think it could be even longer because, you know, they do go through fingerprinting. They do go through FBI checks. I mean, it's not just a an easy process.
Well, we had friends that, when they applied for it, that the man interviewing her said, you seem to have called 911 a lot. Because it went back to her phone number and her name. And as it turns out, she's on the corner of a busy street, and those 911 phone calls were car wrecks. But they had those records there. So they said, you know, what exactly is this? So they can go back and, you know, and if that had been something like things around her house or that she had been, you know, it was a check on her.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know what, that's really a good deal. I mean, if you're going to issue somebody a permit for this, you need to know where they're coming from on it.
Yeah, we don't take it lightly. I mean, it's an important thing because you know, a person out there with a gun, if they don't have the common sense and they start drawing it and pulling it and showing it to people illegally, then you know, that puts everybody in danger, and that's the last thing that we want. So I think the community really needs to know that there are a lot of checks and balances, and if we do have somebody that does go, you know, off to the side and they should not possess that's happened, and we do take care of it. An infield officer may not take the permit at the time, but he will contact the sheriff's office.
And that's happened before, too.
Hey, Steve,
I'm up on a hard break here, but I sure appreciate your phone call, calling from somebody that's had the experience.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay, this is Carl Linnabod here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Got a hard break here. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let me talk about one more thing. We've got the phone line before I go to the phone lines here. It's called Sheep and Wolves and Sheepdogs. I've got a great article, and I'm going to put it on our website so you all take a look at it, freefireradio.com. Essentially, what it says is most people are sheep. That's not bad. Those are people that are, you know, law-abiding, and they go about their business, and that's all they want to do. They want peace. They want to be left alone. They just want to be able to thrive in our society, and that's great. That is the mainstay of our society. Then you have wolves. Wolves are predators that prey on sheep. They don't care about rules. They don't care about achieving something on their own. They go out and they attack the sheep. They take what the sheep has. They kill the sheep. They steal from the sheep. And then you have the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs who take care of the sheep, who protect the sheep. Police, firemen, sheriffs, military in many cases. They protect the sheep. A lot of times the sheep don't like the sheepdogs, but the sheepdogs are there to protect them. The main thing is that you've got to take a look and think, do I want to be a sheep or do I want to be a sheepdog? And you've got to have a certain mindset on that. And again, I'm going to put this entire article on our website, Free Fire Radio. Paul, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Linda and Carl.
Good morning.
It seems like every time we have an election, that Second Amendment and the gun control comes up. I'll ask you a question. What is the purpose of a gun?
Purpose of a gun?
Yes.
Purpose of a gun, I mean, when you get right down to it, the purpose of a gun is to kill.
Okay, I'll give you a... People say that they're carrying weapons for self-protection.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a scenario.
Okay.
Say Linda goes to a grocery store at nighttime, comes out with two bags of groceries, goes to the parking lot, and she's ready to load her car up, and somebody comes behind the truck or car and says, stick them up. Give me your keys or money. And she's going to say, wait, I have my gun in my purse. When I get it out? What do you think of that?
Well, first thing,
it's a gun for protection if you can't get it, use it.
Well, first thing, they teach you in all gun safety classes never to carry your gun in your purse. Always carry it on your person. Otherwise,
you can lose it.
Incidents could happen.
Yeah, do you think you'd have time to get your gun out. If a person comes up and says, stick them up, give me your purse.
Well, Paul, you know,
steal your gun.
Well, no, that depends, Paul, on training, too. I mean, I see where you're going with this, is that a lot of times you carry a weapon that can be used against you, is what you're saying, or you don't have a chance to use it.
That's right.
It goes into a much broader aspect of this. When you look at it, but a lot of it has to do with your attitude, is that when you walk out with those groceries, do you just walk out in the darkness and walk up to your car, or do you take a look around you before you go out there? And that the whole thing is that you've got to be aware of what's going on around you, whether you carry a weapon or not.
Yeah, you're right.
And see, that's part of carrying a weapon, is one is being able to use it. I never would ever say a person should carry a weapon that doesn't know how to use it or doesn't practice or that, because then there can be harm. But you also have to have an attitude of being aware of what's going on around you so that you can be prepared to defend yourself.
Now, I've got another question.
Okay.
What about the police in England, London? Do they carry sidearms, or I think they're called bobbies?
Yeah, the bobbies. Do they carry them? No, but they have them available to them. And that's one of the other things, too, and we could talk about it someday, Paul. I really appreciate your call.
Okay.
But the fact is that some man's in jail right now for defending himself in his own home, but he had an illegal shotgun, so he ends up in jail for life. But that's something else we can talk about. So, Paul, thank you so much for your phone call.
You bet.
D.C., good morning. Okay, D.C., we just cut you off. Call me back. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? I got 2 points.
Okay.
I've been a concealed weapons permit holder since the early 80s. Never had to avail myself of the privilege, but it's very comforting to have.
Uh-huh.
Second point is I did my college thesis on the Second Amendment, and both the people who are pro Second Amendment and concealed weapons carry and self-defense,
yeah,
agree that virtually every single firearms control law that exists is contrary to the Second Amendment.
Well, the
contrary.
Thing, yeah, you know, the other thing, too, Chuck, is that, and I'm sure when, for your thesis when you're doing your paper there, it's be a scholarly research, but one of the things also is that the cities with the highest or with the strictest gun control regulations seem to have the highest amount of crime and homicides.
Absolutely. Point of fact, when Florida went to a will issue, violent crime against Florida citizens dropped tremendously. Unfortunately, for the visitors that would go to Florida, the criminals knew that they would not be carrying, and they became the targets.
Well, as you, I don't know if you know this, but I think Florida is one of them. But if you have that Utah, that Utah carry, they have reciprocal agreements, I think, with Florida, so that you can carry there. But I'd have to, you know, you'd have to check that yourself.
Well, the NRA has the information that will let you know which states are reciprocal. Right now, I believe there's about like 38. Unfortunately,
yeah.
California is not one. One of the things about the Second Amendment is said that the right to bear arms will not be infringed. If you look at the definition of infringed, imagine that you own 40 acres and somebody without permission puts one toe onto your land. That is the definition of infringement. What we see in the gun control laws nowadays is basically totally ignoring the fact that the Second Amendment even is in existence.
Yeah. I tell you what, Chuck, I appreciate your phone call, and this is something that we're going to be talking about, I'm sure, a lot in the future. But thanks so much for your phone call.
Appreciate it. Go for it.
All right, thanks. Bye. BC, good morning. Sorry to cut you off.
No problem. Hey, just a quick thing about that London thing. The average cop does not carry weapons, but around their government buildings and any building of importance, they carry automatic rifles.
That's right. And that's right. And a lot of their flying squads, you may not see the bobbies carrying, but a lot of the squads that are on patrol around there do carry weapons.
Yeah. But what I want to talk about is all these boards we have in the state of California. I just read an article where Carol Midgen, she was a state assemblywoman and a senator from San Mateo. She got term limited out. She was making $116,000 a year as her last senator job or assemblywoman job.
Uh-huh.
And she gets appointed to the Waste Management Board, which pays $132,000 a year, and I doubt whether she goes to a meeting once a month. Now, I don't know whether that comes out of the state money or they extort it from the trash companies, but that's out of control. You go from a full-time job at 116 to maybe going to 10 or 12 meetings a year getting 132.
How do you get jobs like that?
And how many boards do we have overpaying these people?
You know, I would, what a great question that is. You know, one board overpaying people that much is too much.
Yeah.
I mean,
that'd be something you might want to do a little research on, just how many boards we have. And obviously the Democrats control all this, so they give it to retired Democratic people, but that's just out of control. Here we are, $80 billion in debt, and we're doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. I tell you that's a great phone call, Beasley. It's the, you know, that is something that we can do some research on. And we will. We'll talk about this. We'll get a hold of some of our legislatures and say, hey, what's going on with this, too? Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Okay.
All right. Okay, this is Carl and the Bot here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are lit up, so hang on. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Hey, this is Carl Bot. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, Manny, thanks for waiting and good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you, Manny?
I'm waking up slowly. I got one for you. The story about the Bobbies gets even better since 9/11 and then since their mishaps they've had since then. They carry the squirt gun. They carry an MP5.
Yeah.
And last I recall, darn near every streetwalker had one available to them via their, their little secure little mini neighborhood stations and or their vehicles.
Uh-huh.
So that story doesn't hold, you know, that dog don't hunt. The other thing is, I just saw something in the news recently about that community back east where everybody has to have a gun, you know, had a household, and how they have no crime at all.
Yeah, I think that was a place in Georgia that, and kind of like in a tongue-in-cheek protest against people outlawing guns, they passed an ordinance that everybody in the city had to have a weapon, or every head of household.
Exactly. It was retaliatory to something that went down in Illinois, as I recall reading in, I think, my American Rifle or something like that. Yeah. But along those lines, you know, community-wise in California, we seem to do pretty good as far as person-on-person crime, and I think that's because we are a conceal and carry.
I think that if you have the right, which you do, the Constitution gives it to you, then you should avail yourself of it. You know, the last question I ask people is this: what if you could have prevented a crime against your loved ones, and you didn't? You know, Tom's 6'6", and he says he hunts bears with a switch. And that's great, but. You know, somebody that's 5'5", or two people with 5'5" with knives might do a job on him. You know, so how would
a well-armed, polite society?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you're there to protect yourself and your family, and that's the way I look at it. Manny, thanks.
Any talk about what are people saying as far as reasonable conversation and where they think the whole CNC capability for local communities is going to go?
The concealed weapons.
Yeah.
I think that that's right, that anybody that tries to take that away from us, it's going to go to the Supreme Court. I think that it's a community thing. You know, even Obama said that laws that are good, which I, of course, completely disagree with, he's kind of acting like it led it up to communities, which, of course, is wrong. The Constitution says very clearly that you have the right to bear arms, to own and have weapons. There's no way they can take that away from you. However, as somebody else pointed out, that was a 5-4 decision. So we'll have to see. All right, Manny, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Have a good day.
Let's go to the phones.
Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry to change the subject.
Oh, no, that's okay, Ruth. This is y'all's phone, too.
Okay, anyway, the Record Searchlight today has an article about vets and where they're limiting the combat-related definition. And I've been, it's been one of my top concerns ever since the war when they didn't even have a plan to cover the vets when they decided to go to war. I can't believe it. But anyway, I'm calling regarding the lack of justice to our vets and suggest that everybody swarm letters to our government officials to support our disabled American veterans
Ruth,
better than they're doing.
Ruth, you're absolutely correct. And what they did was they they changed the way that people would be paid on it. And so far it hasn't worked. Now, the only good thing is that I saw in this article, and I just saw it today myself, and we are going to do research, and we will have people on from the Veterans Administration to talk about that here in the next few days. Not tomorrow or Friday, of course, but I'm going to try and get one on Saturday or next Monday to talk about this, is that when somebody fought it, it was reversed. But, you know, to not give people disability from because they ran and they jumped, you know, to avoid a mortar attack and was injured is not right. We gave Purple Hearts to people that had concussions because that was just the name of the game over there. If they were knocked unconscious, level 3 concussion, that was a Purple Heart. Now, you're not ever going to see that injury on somebody, but that's called traumatic brain injury, TBI. And that's one of the big things they're checking on. Then, of course, the post-traumatic stress. So, Ruth, I really appreciate this phone call, and we are going to follow this. We're not going to let this one drop without getting to the bottom of this from our elected representatives.
And hopefully our general public will support it greatly, in big ways.
They will, because, again, as you know, we don't care. Linda and I don't care how people feel about the war. It's if you support the warrior. And that's not just the man and woman fighting it, but those are the people, our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters that have come home. And if they've been injured, they deserve the very best care. And if they're not getting it, we need to stand up and demand it.
Good. Thank you.
Well, join our fight, Ruth. Thanks for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Just an idea. Thank you, Ruth. Maybe what somebody could possibly do with their time during the holidays as they reflect is to write a personal letter of how you feel about your people that have served your country and your support of them. We got to take a break, but we're coming back. We had somebody who just kind of popped into the studio, Pastor Jim Dahl, to tell us about the Red Cross and some other calls, but we'll be right back. This is Carla Linda Bott at News Talk 1400 KQMS. The lines are 221-1402.
Hey, this is Carl Bob. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Good morning, Lloyd.
Yes, good morning.
We got a short time here.
Okay. The last two callers had great topics, but the question I want to ask is, I'm reading the paper that says the DA weighs charges on boy's death about a four-year-old that found the pistol and shot himself.
Yes.
I think that what we need to do is not pile on, with the officer. He's probably going to beat himself up a lot more than anybody else possibly could, losing his own child. But I think that we've got to be fair so far as what is good for the citizen should be good for a police officer or anybody else in office.
Absolutely.
And if we have this person, I guess, that had guns all over the house with 1, 2, 3, and 4-year-old children, with walking around loaded guns, and he didn't shoot himself, and then we have a situation where the child did crawl into a closet and pick up a gun and did shoot himself, we can't say, well, since that's a police officer's son, well, we're going to treat it differently.
That's a big question, Lloyd. I applaud your phone call and the fact of your sensitivity to what's happened to it. But then also it comes into, like you said, the trust of the community that, how have they handled this in the past? Let me put it this way. If they in the past have handled it where they did not press charges, then I would not have a problem if they didn't. If they just let this one go as a tragic accident. But you're right, it has to be an equality thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for your phone call.
Again, I think that no matter what a person would do to that police officer, it would be nothing compared to how
nothing,
he feels
nothing.
About
it. And you know something else, too, not to belabor this, but the little boy that was killed was a twin.
Yeah.
So the trauma for the whole family is just...
Yes, it would be terrible.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Lloyd, thank you so much. And even on this, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Switching gears a little bit here, we have a special guest that just kind of sauntered in. His name is Pastor Jim Dahl, head of the Red Cross. Tell us what's going on.
Hi. Well, hey. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I actually came by for a 11-month checkup on you guys because you're going to have a one-year anniversary coming up in another month.
Pastor Jim Dahl married us on January 1st.
Yes, and what a delight.
You did a beautiful job. We still get perclumped over it.
That's yes. what we were doing that day?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it was all about,
I think that's
Carl.
What it's called.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you.
And it has been busy days for the Red Cross. We just had 11 people come back from Operation Ike when we had all the storms there. And some of our people were in some real tragic situations.
Southern California.
Well, actually, the one in Texas, in Galveston.
Oh, okay.
They were the first ones on the island there in Galveston. And boy, what a devastation that was. Then, recently, we had them in Southern California for the fires there. And it has been just really busy days for the Red Cross. And so we're trying to, alert the people in our area, too, for we got a lot of training going on. If people want to know more about getting prepared for disasters, CPR training, we just love to have people prepared. And so it's never too late. So if they want to get a hold of the Red Cross, they can call us at 244-8000. We're down in the Blood Source building on Park Marina Drive, so it's real easy to find us.
Yeah, again, North State, this is a good way to get prepared. Like, I'm going to push Linda down or take her down so she can practice her CPR classes because I am just a little bit older than her. Hey, yes, we got a phone call earlier, and don't go away, Pastor Jim.
I'm right.
About the phone number you could call President Bush on for about the border agents. And it's on our website, Free Fire Radio, but the number is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. That's to get the sentences of the two Border Patrol agents who are in jail commuted so they can get home for the holidays. Jan, good morning. You've got 10 seconds. Jan.
Yeah, oh.
You're on. You've got like 10 seconds.
I'm like half asleep. I just wanted to know what we could do to get the Border Patrol officers pardoned.
Well, that was that number I just
yeah.
gave. And if you call that number, you write to your congressman, write to Wally, write to Feinstein, say, hey, look, get these people out.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have
very
a great
much.
Thanksgiving.
Have
a,
you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be back here Saturday on Free Fire Saturday at 7 a.m.
That's right, 7 to 8. We're going to be talking about these veterans' issues. These veterans' issues are so important. We're going to talk a bit more about the Border Patrol. And again, that number is 202-456-1111. Go to our website, freefireradio.com. Thanks, Pastor Jim,
hey,
everything you do.
Happy Thanksgiving,
yes.
you guys.
And happy Thanksgiving out there to everybody. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Number one source for news and information in Shasta County. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS, Reading. It's 9 o'clock.